Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hi, everyone. I'm Vincent Joe.
Hi, I'm Kathy Reed.
And I'm Allison Reed.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hi, I'm Grace.
We're from the Haydenettes.
I am Mark Henretti.
Ciao a tutti, siamo Rebecca Ghirardi.
E Filippo Ambrosini.
E vi diamo il benvenuto a
This Week in Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
And we're back, and Matteo's with us. We're all three together once again, and we're excited to all be back together again. Our agenda today is pretty packed with lots of little things. Before we jump into the general skating news, we wanted to point out that we are 2 weeks away from the start of the Junior Grand Prix. You're going to notice that there are some switching around of assignments. Skaters and teams get moved around by their federations and replaced at one event so they can move to another event. This is common for this time of year. The reasons behind it, I'm not sure. It could be that they think their athletes need a little more time. It could be that they might fare better at a different competition. I'm not really sure. It could be both of those and more. You know, we'll see.
Yeah. I always wondered why the Junior Grand Prix rosters were so big. They're like, how many different entries are listed there? But you notice that they're constantly moving around skaters to different events, and they just list every possible skater that they could possibly send to that event. So that's why, you know, for the U.S. you may see 8 possible skaters listed for a JGP, and it's just because they're constantly thinking, okay, well, who could we send here compared to there? So that's why I always like to remind people that if you see someone's name drop from a JGP, it doesn't necessarily mean there's an injury involved.
Right.
It may be that they're going to a later JGP. Or what? We don't ever know the reasons why things are switched around, but it's not always injury related.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are lots of different reasons that the skaters can be moved around. And a lot of times they're replaced by folks that are on the alternates list for that competition. I think that's kind of a cardinal rule that they're supposed to follow. Not sure if it's strictly enforced or not, but that's one of those things.
And it's quite an early start, isn't it? Because if you think about the Grand Prix final is together with the Senior Grand Prix, but the Senior Grand Prix start way later in the season while they start now. So it might be, there's quite a lot of strategies being played in the background that sometimes we know about and other times we just assume.
Yeah, I think given the size of the rosters for junior events, sometimes I've wondered if they should go back to the 8 finalists instead of 6, since junior is really developmental and trying to get experience for athletes. It makes me think that maybe they should increase those numbers again. I doubt they ever will, but I'm just throwing it out there. I just think that it gives, you know, 2 additional pair teams, dance teams, and single skaters opportunity to compete at a high-level competition earn points, gain valuable experience, and a lot of times it comes down to little teeny tiebreakers that determines who gets to go and who's an alternate. So, yeah, I think, you know, it makes sense to me, but I'm sure it's probably not something that's being considered at this time. Another thing we want to talk about, Mateo has been on some magical adventures that he will talk about later in this episode. Yep.
I can't keep track of his adventures. We were texting yesterday, and there was, I thought he was talking about one adventure. And so I said, oh, if you need photos of this adventure, and no, he was talking about another. He's just been on a roll lately, and yeah.
So yeah.
I'm excited to hear about this one.
It's been quite a busy summer for me. It's never been like that before in my life, so it's quite exciting.
So also, we want to let you guys know that we have two This Week in Skating episodes this week. We have one that's coming out today, and another one probably being released on Wednesday. Oh. So stay tuned for that special interview. Mm-hmm. I think you guys will enjoy it. And stay tuned for the end of the show to find out how you can become a part of our This Week in Skating team.
All right. Well, are we ready to get started with our general skating news?
I do think that we are.
Okay. Well, today we got a couple entries that happened today for two different events, but this one was the big one. Lombardia Trophy Assignments came out. Now, Lombardia is the third Challenger Series event, and this one is very exciting. If you were looking at the entry list, it's really exciting. 81 entries, 27 for men and women, 11 for pairs, and 16 for dance. Now the men entries, Ilya Malinin, Yuma Kageyama, Kaomira, Shun Sato. For the women, the entries include Kaori Sakamoto, Amber Glenn, Rinka Watanabe, Sarah Everhart. Pairs entries, Riku Mira, Ryuichi Kiara, Sarah Conti, Niccolo Machi, Rebecca Gilardi, Filippo Ambrosini, Annika Hawk, Robert Kunkel, Emily Chan, and Spencer Howe. The pairs event is incredible. The dance event will be led by 7-time Lombardia Trophy champions Charlene Guinard and Marco Fabri. World Junior champions Leah Nusset and Artem Markolov will make their Challenger Series debut. I want to go to Italy for this event. I don't think it's going to happen, but we don't get to ever see some of these like world medalists going against each other so early in the season. So this is a really exciting Challenger event. I hope it's being live streamed.
Well, the Grand Prix lists were updated with China's host picks. They filled all of their available slots. There are still some open host slots that should get filled within the coming weeks. Also, we have the Junior Grand Prix rosters for Ankara, Turkey, and Bangkok. So last week when we were recording, the JGP in Bangkok, those rosters were released. We had the episode edited and ready to post by the time those got released. And so Gina and I were kind of paying attention or closer attention today to see if we could catch the latest JGP roster.
Yeah.
Rosters getting uploaded. And
thank you, and ISU, for making it in time this week.
Yes.
John Nick's pairs assignments were released. So this is the second Challenger Series event, pairs only, and it's going to take place in September 3rd and 4th in New York City.
Well, Skate Canada announced its 59 athletes that will be part of this year's Next Gen team. Now, tickets for the 2025 Canadian National Skating Championships go live next Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Canadians takes place January 14th to the 19th at Place Belle in Laval, Quebec.
I had, what event was there? Was it Skate Canada a couple years ago? I feel like I've been to Place Belle, yeah. Well, moving on to event results. Skate the Lake, which was an NQS for singles, took place in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Senior women, the top three were Brooke Jewalt, Alina Bonillo, and Maxi Marie Batista. And in senior men, Anthony Mugg was the only competitor.
Cup of Colorado, which is another NQS for singles and pairs, took place in Highland Ranch in Colorado. In the senior pairs, Nika DeGernis and Mark Sadusky won the event over Grace Hans and Danny Nudeker. Junior pairs, Addison McDonald and Aaron Felberbaum won over Jolina Groen and Reed Lund. Senior women, Michelle Lee won the event. And finally, senior men, Joseph Kleen was the only competitor there. So clearly a winner.
I wanted to mention that Addison McDonald and Aaron Felderbaum, I believe they train with Chris Kinnearum and Alexa Kinnearum and Timothy LeDuc in Chicago at their training center.
Well, the Potomac Open, which was an NQS for singles, took place in Ashburn, Virginia. Melanie was the official photographer. The senior women's event, Jill Heiner won the event with Ting Sui finishing right behind her in second. From Melanie, Ting is now working with Ilya Malinin's parents and looked much happier, she said. Jill also works with Ilya's parents, and Melanie said that Jill's free skate was one of the best free skates that she has seen from her since her appearance at the 2022 Nationals. So maybe training alongside Ilya is having an effect on Jill and Ting. And we, you know, Sarah Everhart won Cranberry Cup last week. So who knows? Keep an eye out for these girls who are skating with Ilya every day. In the senior men, the reigning U.S. collegiate champion Junsu Kim won the event with Emmanuel Savory finishing in second.
Also taking place, Skate Ontario Sectional Series. Steven Gogolev won the men's event. Kaya Reuter won the women's event. Of note, Gabby Dalman was fourth in this competition. She's on her way back. In the pairs event, they only skated the short program, but that was won by Leah Pereira and Trent Michaud. And in the ice dance event, Lily Henson and Nathan Lickers took the gold medal. Bashinska and Beaumont were in first place after the rhythm dance, but had a -3 deduction for falls on the character steps. So that dropped them down to the silver medal. Lea Dozy and Pietro Papetti actually won the free dance, and they won the bronze medal overall. And now I'm turning it over to Matteo to talk about one of his adventures that he has had recently.
Yeah, so I was quite lucky last week to have to go to Italy next to Milan, which is where I'm originally from. And that coincided with me being able to attend the Japanese Dream Ice Gala event, which took place on August 15th, which is a very important bank holiday in Italy. It's almost like a summer Christmas for Italy, where everything stops and everyone is on holiday enjoying their summer. So that day, skating legend Carolina Kostner and Andrea Vatturi from Gacha Spettacolo joined forces to present the show, which is called Japanese Dream Ice Gala. It was quite unique because it included the Japanese Federation, which is currently training there in Varese. They also had some of the skaters from Italian federations and skaters from Gacha Spettacolo, which is this company that has been set up a few years ago that does shows around Italy and even outside, I believe, on different parts of the year. This was actually the first time in a show in Italy where the Japanese Federation would be taking part of such an event. So it was quite important, but also it was the first official show that launched the 2 years leading towards the Winter Olympic Games in 2026, which are going to take place in Milan Cortina. So now that the Summer Olympics are over, we have these 2 years leading to the event, and that's the gala was the first event that will be part of a series of events leading towards the next Olympic Games. So the gala took place in this arena called A5 Arena in Varese. It's a structure that has been modernized a couple of years ago, and it's currently functioning really well because first of all, it's a beautiful skating rink. I have to say, it's one of those rinks that you get in and you're like, wow, really amazing. And they have quite a good infrastructure next to it. They have other forcing facilities, including a gym. So it's quite important because these skating rink will be the ring used during the Olympic Games for skaters to train while they wait for the official competitions to start in Milan. And also this ring is quite important because Varese itself, the town, and this ring have been selected and picked by the Japanese Federation and the Korean Federation as a training camp to use outside of their own countries. So it's quite an important place. And I think the choice by the two federations is probably quite strategic because, of course, it will allow the skaters to get used to be in that time zone a bit more often and to get ready for the next Olympic Games. But back to the show. So it was a super well-attended event already a few weeks prior to it. The tickets were all sold out and you could definitely see that. I was actually told that I had to put a few additional seats at the top to accommodate the very high demand. And there were a lot of media as well. I saw a few friends there from other media that we know quite well. For example, Skating for Glass was there, Arts and Eyes. There were also national and local TV in Italy. Japanese TVs were there. It was quite important, actually. And there was also a friend of ours that we know really, really well. Our lovely Jordan from On Ice Perspective was there. So he joined Ghiaccio Spettacolo because normally this company does four shows every summer. This summer, one of the four shows is the one that I went to. The other three shows do not have the Japanese Federation, but they had other skaters joining. For example, they had Luna, Hendrix, and all the other ones. So it's quite a good program that they always put in place. Before the show started, there was a meet and greet that took place to allow those that paid for that option to meet with the skaters, to have, you know, photos taken, to have a chance to talk to them. But then eventually the show started, and it was Carolina Costner with Andrea Vatturi that got on the ice to welcome everyone to the show. And they explained why the event was called Japanese Dream. So it's an idea by Costner. Carolina Costner had the chance in her lifetime to be able to live the dream, to, you know, the dream about going to the Olympic Games, to the dream that they trained so hard for. And, you know, she not only went to the Olympic Games, she in fact went to four Olympic Games, which is quite exceptional, but she also ended up winning a medal at one of them. So what she wants to do is to now work with the younger generations. And what she's doing is working now, of course, as we know, with some of the skaters from the Japanese Federation. She's working with them to help them towards achieving that dream. So the symbolic meaning behind that evening and the work that she's doing that will culminate into Milano Cortina 2026 was quite important.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
So they then started the show, and as I said, the Japanese cast was there. The Japanese team was there. It was the names were outstanding. So Kaori Sakamoto was there, Mona Chiba, Hana Ushida, Yoshida, Mai Mihara, which we haven't seen in a while, actually. From the men's perspective, they had Yuma Kagiyama, Sota Yamamoto, Kao Miura, Shun Sato. They also had Riku Miura and Ryuichi Kihara, and Yoshida Utani and Masaya Morita. It was Absolutely phenomenal to see all the skaters there. I think the great thing is that they presented their new programs for the upcoming season, and the quality level of some of the skates that we saw there was insane. Really, there were quad jumps being thrown. At some point, I was asking myself, where is the panel of judges? Because it seems like they're already competing here. What's happening? It's incredibly good. Just to mention a couple of things that we could witness there, Yuma Kageyama skated right after Carolina Kostner, actually, on a version of Sounds of Silence. And he's already embodying this program really well, probably thanks to the work that he's doing with Carolina Kostner, which is helping him to get into the fine detail of interpreting and presenting the music on the ice. Kaori Sakamoto also had her new program presented. It was very interesting as well. I think it's something that we're going to really enjoy this season. She had a little issue with the jumps, but not a very worrying thing. And you know Kaori Sakamoto, she was just laughing when the jumps were not working. So she still delivers a show even without the jumps that we know that she can deliver. Miura and Chiara also were impressively fast, and they brought quite a good quality already to the ice, and it's going to be quite interesting to see where they're going to get to this season. They ended last season with a silver medal at the World Championships, so we'll see what they'll be able to achieve this year. They skated on their new short program, which is on Painted Black music. And also just quick notes to say that Hana Yoshida was in a fantastic shape. She was, I think, the skater out of all the skaters that we saw last week that probably delivered the best and the cleanest and something that she could literally compete this week, and she would already be quite in a good shape to win something. So yeah, that was impressive from the Japanese team. We also had a few Italian skaters from the Italian Federation. Shalene Guinard and Marco Fabbri were there. We also had Rebecca Ghilardi and Filippo Ambrosini. Matteo Rizzo was back after surgery. He already landed a double and a triple jump, with a triple being so fast that it was quite difficult to notice, but it's typical Matteo Rizzo's jump style. Ginevra Negrello was there as well. So quite a few names that didn't present programs for the new season, but it was quite nice to see on the ice. And surely we know that we mentioned Guignard and Fabbri and Ghilardi and Ambrosini that will be at the Lombardia Trophy very soon. So that we'll be able to see their new programs there. And lastly, there was the cast of Ghiaccio Spettacolo, which deliver fantastic performances. They're very good at entertaining, so there were performances with hula hoops and backflips and other spectacular choreography taking place. Overall, it was quite a long evening because it was 3 hours start to finish, but I can guarantee you the entertainment level was amazing and the engagement from the audience was absolutely phenomenal. Everyone was cheering for every single skater. Of course, you know, some of the skaters were quite well-known compared to other ones, but the level of cheering was equally warm, even if someone was not as famous as some of the big names that were there. Carolina Kostner herself skated too. She, despite of, you know, not having competed for quite a few, for I think a good 6 years now, she's still a phenomenal skater. The way she listens to music, she skates on the music, and her grades are still second to none, I would say. So it was very great, beautiful to have a chance to see her there. And of course, as you can imagine, she was the one that received probably the biggest support from the audience, still being Italy's darling. So at the end, everyone left the ice, and some of the skaters were actually quite kind because they stopped with the fans. They took photographs, they had a couple of exchanges with them. So overall, it was a fantastic event for sure, and definitely one that Italy is going to remember and put in the books of record, shall we say, given that they had this, the Japanese Federation and a stellar cast that it's not quite easy to see, actually. It's it was really unique and a great show.
I wish I was there. Just based on your report, Mateo, and the photos I've seen, I wish I was there. It sounds like a really amazing show.
It was. It was definitely something. If they do something like that again next year, you can be guaranteed that I'm going to be there again.
I do think that something like that would go over really big here in the U.S. They just haven't explored it. It hasn't. Yeah, it hasn't really been discussed. I think there are a lot of fans who also appreciate and enjoy skaters from other countries and beyond North America. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I wish that they would consider that with one of the tours. Or it doesn't have to be a tour, just one show, because if it's in a great location that's easy to get to, I think a lot of people would travel for it because these opportunities just don't happen here.
And I can tell you that there were a lot of members of the audience that were not from Italy or from that area of Italy. There were a few, I've definitely seen a few French. I think there were a couple of Germans, Swiss. So it attracted quite a lot of people from different locations. There was also there were the two sisters that we see at every event every year wearing the same jacket. They were there, and I thought, okay, that's official. This is an important event if they're here, and we, you know, we are big fans of them.
Also happening this week, Champs Camp, the Summer Sizzle show was on Thursday. Claire Cloutier on Twitter, aka X, has tons of updates. So go take a look at that. She was in attendance. So yeah, definitely check that out. Also, we have a ton of program announcements that were added to our trackers. So go ahead and check those out.
Moving on to recent interviews and articles. Now, when it came time to picking our featured article, I texted Daphne and Mateo right away and said, okay, this is our featured article this week. The article is called From Ice Rinks to Weather Reports, and it was done by U.S. Figure Skating. It's a feature on Violet Shibor. She is a meteorologist in Syracuse, New York. So this really, you know, when I'm reading this, struck my attention that there happens to be a meteorologist in Syracuse, New York, who competes in Showcase. She did compete in Showcase. So this is talking about how she went from skating now into weather. And I'm also highlighting this article because there is just so many similarities to another skating meteorologist. Stacy Pengen is a meteorologist. She's just about an hour and a half west of where Violet lives. Stacy won the silver medal at the 2004 Continents Championships. Fun fact here, Stacy and Violet attended the same school for meteorology. And I found out this article was written by 2016 U.S. champion Tara Kane. So, yeah, go definitely check out this article.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we have a bunch more articles that will be in the show notes, so be sure to check those out. Moving on to our social media updates, Julia Silvia Gunnersdottir and Manuel Piazza are announced as a new pair team. They will be representing Iceland at the international level. Julia is new to pairs, and Manuel previously skated with Anna Valesi for Italy.
And I seem to understand this is the first time that Iceland has got a pair team, isn't it? So it's quite a historic event in a way. I think quite a good choice for them as well, because they are probably very much likely to be able to compete at European Championships, given that there has never been a pair from Iceland ever trying to access the spot. So if they manage to qualify for it, they'll be able to do that, and it's quite good for them. Beckstromer announced on Instagram that he had moved coaches from Victor Pfeiffer and Eva Martinek to Jonathan Kasser and the rest of the LA Elite Ice team in Southern California.
Well, Ilya Malinin threw out the first pitch at the Boston Red Sox game last Monday, and there are photos and videos of him throwing out the first pitch on social media.
Caitlin Wyack and Maxime Weatherby shared stories on Instagram. Caitlin choreographed the free dance for Maxine and her partner, Sasha Kolosovsky. And then Caitlin revealed that she's also been working with other teams on choreography, such as Olympia Kalaganis and Emile Deveau, Jamie Fournier and Everest Ju, and Audra Gans and Gabriel Liu. Caitlin will be returning to Buffalo as she is hosting a seminar for the Skating Club of Western New York on August 26th.
2022 Olympian Lindsay van Zundert from the Netherlands has retired from figure skating. She announced that on her Instagram.
There are a lot of social media posts from Champs Camp, the Summer Sizzle, the Japanese Dream, Ice Gala, so definitely go and check them out if you haven't done so already.
Charlie Anderson and Caden Dawson are a new ice dance team. They're listed on an entry list for the Skate Ontario sectional final qualifying.
And lastly, Tessa Virtue had her baby, McCormick Riley. There are no other details on where the baby was born, but we've seen some pictures of the baby here and there in a few posts. So congratulations to her and the husband.
Well, moving on to upcoming events for the week, it's kind of a quiet week here. We've only got two events going on in the U.S., the 2024 Providence Open and Little New England Championships is August 21st to the 25th in Providence, Rhode Island, and that's an NQS event for singles, and Skate San Francisco, August 23rd to the 25th in San Francisco, California, also an NQS for singles.
You know that we like to end our episode by shining a lens on what's going on at our respective websites, including This Week in Skating.
But do you enjoy listening to This Week in Skating? Actually, we are looking for a few listeners who would like to help us prepare our weekly show by sending us news and other information for inclusion in our episodes. So if you're interested in trying to help us and understand how it works for us to, you know, behind the scenes when we put together an episode and we get ready for it, get in touch. We'd like to listen to hear from you. And yeah, we'll hopefully hear from someone at some point. Do get in touch. Also, don't forget to check our page dedicated to program announcements for the new season. As we said, it's getting updated regularly, so you will find all the latest new programs announcements there. And also look at our merchandise and our swag page. And don't forget to join our Patreon for access to ad-free episodes.
Over at IDC, I've been very busy creating the solo dancer profile section. It's growing every day. So it's definitely picking up steam. We have an interview with novice solo ice dancer Veronica Carhart. And we have a recap of the Cheska Lipa ice dance camp that Mateo attended.
Well, over at FSO, Scott did an article with Alexa Knierman and Brandon Fraser about their gold medal in Paris. And I also posted photos from Cranberry Cup and the Japanese Dream Ice Gala.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Mateo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.